Welcome to WhiskeyCast, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and in a few minutes we'll look at A Labor of Love, the best book on scotch that you won't find at your local bookseller. First, let's look at the news, and there's a lot to report. Unless you're living in a cave somewhere, and since you're listening to this, even that's not an excuse. You've heard about the controversy and rioting over cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad that have been published in several European and North American newspapers. But the debate over blasphemous images isn't limited to the Muslim world. Hindus in Greece are upset over an Athens bar's display of posters showing the Hindu goddess Durga carrying bottles of Southern Comfort whiskey. The protesters want those posters taken down and burned. Pernod Ricard is reporting a 67% increase in sales over the past year. Much of the increase is credited to the Allied Domecq takeover last year, but the company's legacy whiskey brands also recorded double-digit increases, with Chivas Regal sales up 13%, Jameson up 12%, and the Glenlivet up 10%. Only a handful of bottles are left for one of the rarest releases ever from Glenfarclas. The distillery in Murrayshire released its first ever 50-year-old single malt last year in honor of John Grant's 200th birthday. George S. Grant, John Grant's great-great-great-grandson, is now the brand ambassador for Glenfarclas.
There's 110 bottles produced in total. That's all we managed to get out of the cask at 44.4% alcohol. We kept numbers 1 and number 50 at the distillery, and then the rest were sold around the world to various distributors and collectors. It's definitely a unique whiskey. It doesn't taste like a 50-year-old whiskey ought to. It tastes very fresh, very light. It's got some great, you know, long sherry notes to it. But the whiskey's still very much alive. There's hardly any oak coming through in it, comparable to like a younger whiskey of that expression. So it's a very full-bodied yet light whiskey.
Glenfarclas is also about to start releasing its first vintage single malts, with a single cask bottling for every year between 1952 and 1997.
We're also one of the very few distilleries that can actually do that, who actually has the stocks to go back that far to actually be able to produce it. I mean, many distilleries, do release vintages and things, but they don't actually have the stock of every single year. The way we hope to do it, obviously some years are going to be more popular than others. Some years we've got some very good sherry casks. Unfortunately, some years we don't have the sherry casks that will be a refill sherry. But it does mean that when a cask does run out or does sell out, we will be able to replace it with another cask.
The distillery will release 10 vintage bottlings later this year, with the rest coming next year. Pricing details are still being worked out. And there's a new high bidder in Whiskey Magazine's auction of a 20-year-old Speyside vatting. As we've reported before, the magazine collected samples from Speyside distilleries last summer to be blended by White & McKay's Richard Patterson. The high bid for one of the two bottles now stands at £320, or about $558. Bidding continues through March 1st. If you're serious about whiskey, there's one book that really should be in your library. The trouble is, you won't find it at the bookstore. Misako Udo self-published The Scottish Whiskey Distilleries last fall. It's as complete a history of Scotland's distilleries as you'll find anywhere. It's truly a labor of love for her. She fell in love with Scotch and Scotland before she ever left Japan.
When I was 18, it is a first encounter to have a Scotch whiskey in Japan. And that time was malt whiskeys, nobody knows about it, you know, and only blended whiskeys available in Japan. And when I tasted the White Horse, and I fall in love instantly, and because maybe you're laughing about it, but I realize I didn't get any hangover. You see, it's just I thought that's great because all the time I drank that time Japanese whiskey is not good quality, you know. Nowadays it has been changed, but more than 20 years ago, it's I would say it's no good quality. All the time I have to had a very bad hangover. But when I tasted and the White Horses, and just I didn't get any hangover. So I thought that's great. And later on, I noticed and that was a blended whiskey. And just I started thinking, what is a blended whiskey? and started wanted to know more about malt whiskey and the grain whiskey. But at that time in Japan, nobody wrote such books, and nobody could tell me how what is malt whiskey is. So just I was all the time dreaming about visiting Scotland to find out.
Now she lives in Edinburgh, where she specializes in leading distillery tours.
So many people asking me a lot of questions. All the time, I have to tell them, right, okay, I'll ask the distillery people, but often they couldn't answer it because so many technical matters. As you can imagine, a lot of Japanese or maybe German, they're very interesting technical matters, but most of the distillery's guide couldn't tell the very, very technical matter is that it's not important for ordinary tourists. And then I started to study myself to pick up the books and what it's all about, and started making a note. And then about 10 years ago, I started to realize a lot of distillery people and also my customer who wanted to have my note because it's so full of information in it.
About 3 years ago, she started turning her notes into a book. It's clearly not a coffee table book, more like an encyclopedia covering every known distillery in Scottish history. What I found really fascinating about this book is that you go into the history of distilleries that we haven't seen in 100 years.
I know. That's a surprising, isn't it?
And I think the saddest part to me was to look at the back of the book with 20 distilleries that are listed as unknown.
That's right, because still I'm researching it, and it's surprisingly, it's so lack of the record, you know, and I've tried a lot of the register office and the Glasgow University, but still I can't find it. That's really sad. You know, we shouldn't forget about it, and this really is heritage in Scotland. And unfortunately, lots of Scottish doesn't know about that. So when I started mentioning, oh, by the way, this area used to be had three distilleries. And the people were so surprising. Which one? Which one? You know, they started asking me.
Now, what's in the future here? Obviously, this book is going to have to be updated from time to time.
Correct? Yeah, I have to. I have to, because already now more than 30 pages now added more information now. So I don't know how can I manage to publish the huge quantities of pages, books. I don't know. Maybe I have to make maybe volume 1 or volume 2. I don't know.
Misako never found a publisher for her book, so she's doing it herself and selling it through the marketplace on Amazon's UK site and on eBay. Just search for Misako Udo, and you'll find The Secrets of Scotch Unlocked.
I started thinking, oh, I'm really fed up to bring so many books and all the time during tour. So I've started making, you know, picking up and very important information, you know, like I did on a book. And because instantly I can find out any kind of the information instantly whenever they ask me questions. But current books, I have to read the whole page, even if I wanted to find out who owns 100 years ago this distillery. Haven't you ever had such an experience, you know? If you wanted to find out and which is official bottle, you have to read the whole pages of the books.
And you've got it all in one page.
Yes.
And this just, I can't believe the amount of information you were able to get some of these distilleries to give you, because a lot of this stuff, I would think that a lot of these distilleries would consider basically to be trade secrets. Just things like how big the spirit receivers are and how much time they actually spend in getting the middle cut volumes and things like that. That's almost trade secret stuff that you have in here that nobody else has ever published.
Mark, that is a really good question, because a lot of people are asking that. But the secret is, do you remember, I'm working as a tour guide. Often I work for the professional people who are working in the whiskey industry in Japan, right? They can't speak English, okay? So when I visit the distillery, I'm pretending my customer and who are working whiskey industry in Japan asking this technical question to distillery. They can't refuse the answer there because they are very, very good customer for them. Right? So I always pretend to ask the distillery people, this is not my question from my customer who are working in whiskey industry in Japan. They wanted to know more about the technical matters. So they are giving me a lot of information. That is a secret.
I can't recommend this book enough. It's literally the ultimate reference book on Scottish distilling history. You'll also find Misako Udo at whiskey101.com, where she's one of the experts in Kevin Erskine's chat forum. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.